No, we're talking, it's going to be more of an introduction because in the Parshas Bereishis, literally, is a constant discussion of all the different failures of the Menchava, Cain and Havel, and then you go on to the Tower of Babel and the stretchment of the world. So I wanted to have a few of the perceptions that have been written also about our relationship with God before and after. And then we'll go back to the Pesukim. So the first piece I brought, actually the first I wanted to do, I forgot to make a copy of. But we'll do it in the Siva Shalom at first. So actually I have page 1 over here, which is not marked. The Parshiyas Achatoim Bereishis Yemei HaOlam Hemim Mechlal Sodo Sabriya Hanelim Mibitano. These Parshiyas of all the sins of the in the Bereishis, Asher Ein La Mod Al Sodan Yonim Shehem LeElo LeElo Mikol Musak. Ach BeYosam Ksuvim B'Torah Hakodesh Aleinu Spanein. Even though we don't really understand everything, it's for us to think about, to look into it. Das ma ba Torah Hakodesh Lamed B'Sev. What did the Torah want to teach us? Ve'imem nam lo shayich b'chlal daber al hakshos me'in hachet hakadmon shal adam arishim atzmon. And even if we can't, and what we have to ask about all of the sins, yatir kapam shekadosh baruch hu shezeh le'ela le'ela mahasagas enosh ach yesh yishbonei. No, he's saying even though we may not come to a real understanding of exactly what all the chatam really were, but v'lamod al inyan shara chatam shehayu bereishisa shelabriya l'havin eich higiyu lidei chatam chamur ke'elim. You may not, for instance, the whole idea with Adam and Chava, you know, eating from the Eitz Hadas, like, what was that? What was it? And it's a tremendous, we'll get into it, but that's a tremendous machlokas. Rishonim, what was the Eitz Hadas? And why did God tell him not to eat from the Eitz Hadas? Like, what was the, so you may not understand the Chet, but the question is, what causes man to transgress is really what he wants to discuss. Now, it doesn't matter, and this way it'll fit into any Chet. It's interesting, I noticed yesterday in the in Tanya says that the first two Dibros really, within it is the entire Torah. Anochi Hashem Elokecha is the first one which really contains all of the positive commandments. And the second commandment of not having another God contains all of the negative. The negative. All of the negative. Then the Tanya makes it interesting, because I have to look into this. The Tanya says, and that's why God, we heard the first two Dibros directly from God. It's not simply the first two Dibros that we heard. We heard the first two Dibros, but then we said, you know, it was too much for us, so you do the rest. In here, really, what the Tanya said.
More?
What?
How did we know there were more? If the first two Dibros contain all the mitzvah saseh and lo saseh, and we heard those from God,
yeah, but what Tanya is saying is, what is controlled within it is that all of this is, in other words, all of Torah is either belief in God and a rejection of avodah zarah. Everything else flows from that.
Well, we had the crypt sheet.
Right? So what Tanya is basically saying is that everything we do, every single chait, is a denial of God.
It's a big thing to say.
That's what really Tanya, I think, is. I mean, listen, I'm not Tanya yet, but I'm just saying it makes sense. All of it comes into ultimately there is some, even your question. How do we know there was more? What are you asking? Or too early for you to think that? What are you asking?
Well, if you have all that included, then
no.
What
I said, we said to the Kaddish Baruch Hu, you have to stop in Moshe. You do the rest, right? How did we know there were eight more?
So you're denying the veracity of Moshe Rabbeinu. You're denying some aspect of Torah. You don't believe that God gave.
A practical question: did God come down and says, "I got 10 things for you guys"? I mean, it wasn't what he called again.
Mel Brooks
coming down with three of them and dropping one. you know.
Maybe true.
Yeah, which, right. Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, that's... I mean, I've always thought that chet, you know, sin, there are different levels that I think Orthodox Jews go through. I think most of our transgressions are on a rabbinic nature, right? It's today already, maybe more we're getting into Isurei Daraisas. I'm not talking about stealing. But but there are other Isurim that now are getting into the Daraisas. But I think most transgressions are on a rabbinic level. And what you're saying inside is that you're denying the power of the Rabbanim. You're either saying that they were incorrect in their analysis, or it's not a Masorah, it's made up, and whatever you want to say, you're attacking really the veracity or the power, the authority of Rabbanan. But you're not really attacking the authority of the Torah. And when you do, you're basically saying the Rabbanim's understanding
is wrong.
Translation of the Torah is incorrect, but that's not what God had in mind. Because you don't want to deny God, you want to deny something less than that.
Makes you feel better.
Yeah.
Don't we have a concept of doing a chet because of taiva?
Right.
Is that also part of this denying of God?
Is that when you do something because of taiva? It's a good question. Like when you do something for taiva, what's really going on? Is it that you can't control yourself, and because of that, you're saying, okay, God understands?
No.
Or, no, I mean, I think that is part of it. I think when you do something at a time and somebody says, the Eibishter, he don't understand me. I think that's part of it. Or it also could be that you're using the taiva to explain away why you're rebelling against God. In other words, I don't agree with this. And for instance, in discussions of homosexuality, there are those out there writing, said, listen, God would not have created, since I have a taiva for this, it can't be that God said, you know, that it's usa. They actually use this
argument. But then if you look just into the Chumash, it says specifically it's a no-no.
You'd be surprised how people misinterpret
that.
But the thing is, they're very selective. So they have, what do you call it again? Homosexuality is okay. But where is the when they get to the death penalty, do they scream murder? No, that's not the interpretation. You're not allowed to murder. It doesn't say you're not allowed to kill. God says if the guy does something so horrific.
Yes, you're getting into rabbinic interpretation. That's what you're doing.
No,
without realizing, you're really going into a rabbinic interpretation. You're right. But that's because we're already saturated with our understanding of how the Rabbanim explained it to us.
Right. Well,
before Purim, someone gave me a book that I forget the name of the author, and I found it fascinating because it's really written by someone who's it's not written from a Torah perspective at all, and it's reading as almost like, you know, someone who reads Chumash without any of the Rishonim, and here in the case of reading Megillas Esther, it's just like fascinating how they interpret all of the psukim very differently than we would interpret. You know, we don't even realize that we're really, it's just like art scroll Jews. We're so used to reading with Rashi and, you know, Ramban.
Yeah, well,
we have a notion of what Torah is about. We can't even think outside of that box. All right, let's just say what Uvtchila Sayin. Chet Kayin Bahargo Es Hevel Achav. Shetzok Be'er Zahari Kayin Ho Yamamish B'tchila Sabriya. Veraz Bria Sa'olam, Ve'echigili, Dechet, Norakazet. Right? He's in the very beginning. He still sees that the world is just created. You know, all I have is mommy and tati. There's no one else in the world yet. God just created. Uchmochen, Achakav, Dor Enosh, Sha'avdu, Avodah Zorah, Be'ofen, Agrubi, Yosef. Right? I mean, Avodah Zorah came into this world so quickly. Uchaloshen, Achazal, Afilu, It's hard to understand. Was a grandchild.
but it came in the third generation.
And what's him? Adam is still around. He's still around.
So who is
It's hard to understand all of the. We're not going to get into that. How the word got so populated so quickly.
But I'm just saying.
But I'm saying the way that
Avodah Zarah, in its most primitive sense, is that man realized that he is not the wearer of everything, that there's something bigger than him. So in the primitive mind, well, what's bigger, the sun,
right,
the moon? They were denying God. They were looking for God,
but they still did not.
They didn't know there was a God, but they were need.
But the question you're asking is that Adam Arishan is still alive. So Adam, who spoke to God, is like, listen, that's what he's asking. Adam is still alive. So when you start worshiping somebody else, he said, what are you doing? I know there's a God. I've spoken to him. So I could tell you exactly what's going on. That's what he's asking. How did it happen?
He cannot describe this God. He spoke to something.
Okay, so let's...
But he didn't see the body of who was. So let's just see how he approaches it.
Now it gets so bad, the gods are going to have to destroy the whole world. Meal pedi adama. Kilo nutar bahem shum chelek tov rak rakol hayom. They got to a point, there was no good coming out of these people. It was all just evil. Kimavu b'tavarein b'parshas Noah, shahador hayakula ra. V'ad sha'af al noach ba'atzma hoysa ha'gezeira kamo shador shel chazal. V'yapasa ki nichamti ki yasisem v'noach, v'lo b'schus nitzal el mitnei shemotzachem b'nei Hashem. Even Noach, there was an issue with. V'yeshavar mahayo harakiya letzmichas dor mershas gezeh. See, that's also really notice. What he's seeking is, what was it? What was in the water? What was in the water that created such a world? Shekulo ra'ah ad ki hishkas kol basar as darko la'aretz. Everyone just went literally off the path. It's very important to understand. Let me change the topic just a little bit. Something which I want to speak about on Shavuos. In the world of Psak, when Gedolim, you know, have to face the issues of the generation, what they look for, and if you study the times of, let's say, of the Gemara and the Rishonim, you know, actually, the time of the Gemara and the Tanayim, and then come to the Rishonim, how they handle aberrations. What did they look for? For example, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, you know, the Rav's son, basically tries to show that many of the heterim, or what they found, was because they believed that the generation itself in Europe at the time were really Yirei Shamayim. And so you came to defend them, to show why they did certain things. Gemara Avodah Zarah basically is constant showing up, but Bismanenu, even though the Gemara says you can't do X, Y, and Z, but we see in our time they're doing X, Y, and Z, but they allowed it. So why is it? Well, economic reasons, blah, 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 and they come with all the different reasons. Because they saw the generation in a certain light. Later on, starting really from the 16th and 1700s, you'll see also a change where Chachamim basically didn't agree to any of the changes. Why? Because then they looked at the sort of, like, what was the rationale behind wanting the change? Right? No, sometimes you have to look at the rationale and you say, the rationale is so dangerous. It's not the question that you're asking. I mean, one of the major issues of the 1800s is where to place a bima. The middle, the back, the front. Who cares?
Like a church. In
right. And who cares?
That was the problem. Right?
It's like, and if it was a place in the wrong spot, no. You can't go in there. You can't go in. And therefore, it was made a big issue. Now, I remember growing up, Kingsway Jewish Center had an organ, right? What did they have upstairs? They had something.
And I remember, was where the choir was, no?
Yeah, but they had like some kind of musical...
I don't
remember there. I'm almost sure.
There's
nothing there now. The organ, having an organ in shul became... Finally, Rav Moshe wrote a tshuva to say, listen, the reason why we were so much against all of the bima, per se, the reason why we were so much against everything with the bima, because what was it? They were trying to... We couldn't let reform take root. So we fought with the reform, Judaism, tooth and nail. Everything they wanted to change. It's not the bima. The bima says, like, who cares? In fact, as Rav Moshe said in the end, the bima will be here, the bima will be there. No. Right? It's in a shtiva. What do you care? Where are we going to put the bima?
The basement where the bima or the shulchan was in the basement.
But it's basically said this particular issur that they created, because they were fighting a certain issue. Notice they looked at the issue itself.
The problem is that once you make the issur, three generations later, when that fight is no longer there,
Rav Moshe said,
getting out of the issur is
right.
An issue.
So that's why Rav Moshe said, he said, it's not an issue today. That's why you need a gadol like that, to say, it's not an issue.
Just to give us an example.
Weddings in a shul. Berlin, they immediately, no, in any shul. The Berlin, they immediately couldn't accept that, because in Berlin, they didn't, it wasn't like West Hempstead, where you have room. Berlin was always that crowded area. So they automatically said, listen, we can't take on this sort of saying. We don't have the courtyards and the backyards and all the space that you guys have. In Poland, we don't got it. Right, we don't have Eden Palace. We don't have it. But no, my point is not to get off topic, was to show that sometimes what he's looking for is, what's the crux of the issue? Why is it that man sins? And then everything could be translated into different areas. But sometimes the issue, what the cause of it is the ikkar. Yeah. That's really what I want to show also in halacha. That sometimes people make a mistake. You take an issue of the day, and they go into Bar Ilan and they could get all of the tshuvas back and forth. Find it interesting, the Maritz Chias attack on the reform said, you take a line from a tshuva, and then you say, oh, this is the tshuva, this is everything. Or you take it out of the context. Tshuvas have an issue. You always have to know, when someone gives a tshuva, the context, the people that he was speaking to. They say that the Rav Moshe's tshuva that he wrote in 1932 to Toledo, Ohio, about opening soda cans, was written because he was written to Toledo, Ohio. How many from Jews were over there? So he had to say it in a certain way. Right? A rabbi knows he's in a certain shul where people don't have all the chakiras and the Melech Shabbos. Sometimes you say, don't do it.
So it's like the same thing in the Gemara. They would come out with a gezeira and then realize that the people are saying, no way, Jose, they would take it back.
That's also part of...
they would take it back.
That's a takana of how it works.
They would take it back.
Gemara Vada Sora says, you have Yud Beis Chut. In fact, the first 12 months, because I don't have the power, and goes from gezeira. The first 12 months, I never told the people, never told the Baal Batim. This is the rationale. Get used to it, then we'll talk about it next year.
Once you get into the groove.
I think it was the Avdei Nezer. He was asked the question about Machlokas, whether the son-in-law or the son could take over, to be the rabbi of the shul, it goes... And the question, by heritage, and the question was, does a woman have a right... to have any, you know, power over here. So he wrote the tshuva 100 paragraphs. It's more than 100 paragraphs. It's just that every idea became another paragraph. And someone asked, why'd you write so much? He says, this way Bala Bantam won't have time to go through the whole thing and argue with me.
What's the issue on soda can?
Opening.
A clig, a tikkun manos.
You used to make it with a can opener.
They, so with the can opener or the way it is today?
Reg, in 1932? I don't know what they did in 1932. No, but we had this issue. Yeah.
Well, that, and you see sometimes the caterers in, on Shabbos open up all the
right.
the soda bottles
right.
because...
Saying, right. What's the issue with the soda can? I don't use the soda can, so what's the issue today with the soda can?
It could be because that's considered tikkun manos.
Because now you make that can of clean. I mean...
soda cans have...
All right, well, this is not a shir in Malacha Shabbos. We have to. I'm not going to pass it on.
Let me ask you. This is God creates the world. Okay. He had it's a slow week for him. He decides he's going to create the world.
He was pretty busy that week.
Yeah, no. He had no world to take care of. What was he doing? Well, you know.
You don't know that.
Yeah. No,
by the way, this is Chaim Slomikig, Grach Jr.
So he creates a world and purposely puts stumbling blocks in front of him.
Oh, so let's...
If you create something, you want it to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And so God creates a perfect world and he says, nah, we're going to put sin in it. And you say, what do you have, a bad day? What's going on here? What did you suddenly think?
It's a very good question.
It's perfect. Leave it alone. Loss is all.
What's the purpose of creating the world if it's perfect?
Right.
Yeah, but if so the whole idea, okay, so you can go back and say, you know, why did God create the world? He needed a world like he needed a locking cup. What does he need it for? He doesn't need me. I mean, when I do karbanos,
we all need you.
You know, when I do karbanos in the Beis Hamikdash, I'm not doing it. You know, it's supposedly an exercise in me, not because God needs to smell this turkey. He doesn't care; could care less about it. But it's me.
It's very
good. Only reason is because we created a sin. If we didn't have sin, we'd have a perfect world, you know. Everybody would be multi-millionaires, and everybody was happy, and the world would go on. And perfect. Nobody creates something to make it imperfect.
Look, he said, let's make man in our own image. Look around. There's a mistake number one.
So first of all, that's a good question. But al regal achas, the idea was that the world was not created to perfection. Because a man is a partner, is in the shutaf and kadosh baruch hu, to bring it towards the level of perfection. Moreover, the Rav has a very, in which I'm sure you all know about it. So I don't know if maybe we'll go through the essay itself. But the Rav explains that there's a difference between how man is discussed in the first parak and the second parak of Bereishis. First parak he's at the end, it's just a minor discussion. And the second parak now becomes more, the discussion revolves around man. And there, it says, Lo tov hayos adam levado, it's not good for man to blame himself. There are two different creations of man, as he puts it, the cosmological versus the metaphysical man. The cosmological is one who wants to create. Metaphysical, who feels lonely. He feels incapable of being a partner with God. Kol ha'adam kozev, that we say in Tehillim, the Rav explained that every man's a liar, but he meant, the Rav explains that pasuk to mean, kol ha'adam kozev, there are two opposite aspects within man. He's a cosmological and metaphysical at the same time. And unlike other philosophers who said there's a synthesis in life, the Rav says man never comes to the synthesis. And this...
There's always a conflict.
This conflict is what causes a person to create. When you don't have something, then you seek it. Right?
Necessity Joel is the mother of invention.
Is constantly looking to hit below a score of 80. He keeps on going at once he hits it.
I did it three times last year.
Nine.
Without cheating. Once he gets...
on 18 holes.
I shot 79 three times last year.
I don't recall that.
I was with one of my sons
the other,
twice.
The mini-golf.
The mini-golf.
So now his X thing is 75.
Oh.
Then maybe 70.
Oh.
And then he'll wake up. No, but that's what, when your person doesn't have to. What causes someone to get up in the morning to go to the job and to create, yeah, well, to do something? He has a need, either it's for money or he's a desire to do something special in the world. So that's why the world
is great.
Necessity
is the mother of creation.
You don't want everything. No one, every, you know. That's part of the, but that's, let's all, let's take a little bit slower. King Tzorchber. Mash Nemer b'gemar maseh breishis, v'yar l'kim is kol asher asav, hinei tov mod. Hello, Kadosh Baruch Hu Yodeya. Oh, now he's asking you a question. Yodeya satidos v'gol v'yidu l'fonim sh'asel l'tzeis dor ha'mabel, sh'kulara. It's not a perfect world. And he knows... In the end, what's going to happen, right? Ve'ein bo shum chelak tov. Ve'ech namar v'yar is kol asher asav hinei tov mod. How does he say that? Harambam meforesh omro v'yar l'kim is kol asher asav hinei tov mod perish. Sherotza b'kiyumo. He wanted it to exist. V'nosam bo kiyum la'ad. So he gave it a permanence. V'hu kemo de'isa b'chazal sha'ad at until now. You know the Medrash, that God created many worlds, nine worlds to be exact, and he destroyed them.
Yeah, it's another story.
Shelo rotza b'kiyumo. He didn't want them to exist. Okay, hold on, that's why you're here. Ad shebora. What?
Experiments that failed?
Well, that's the Medrash. The question, what's the meaning behind it? It's not that it happened per se, not necessarily that it happened, it's the idea. Ad shebora habriya hazos. So until this word, I said, I want it for permanence. So that's a blessing. That's the way differently. That's,
I get to look at that the other way. I mean, after nine experiments, and this is what he came up with, maybe he should have gone for number 10 or 11.
The gamba's there.
I mean, just think about it.
Okay, maybe. Yeah. Let's
12 years, we're not going to be here anymore.
What?
In 12 years, we're not
going to be here anymore.
Is it 12 or 11?
No, 12.
Maybe 11.
Now it's 11. AOC.
The gambaze yeshet mor kiner leel.
Right.
Hare yada kadosh baruch hu sheyavo dor kidor hamabul shekulabra. Well, all of them are nicham to geatzis, and then he says, I'm sorry, I did this. Umadurim came rotzav b'kiyumo. Ochein yisoda devar mahu kemamar hakosav. Yotza or varichoshech. So Yeshaya says yotza or uvarichoshech. Osa shalom uvari ra. Ani Hashem osek kolel. I do everything. Haynu shekodesh baruch haboras hatov ukemochein hu baruch gamis hara. He created. He's created the good. He created evil. Vein shum koach achas ulosan, is no other power but him. Yisbarach v'gam koach hara mechlal. Uchineged koach hara bara kodesh baruch es koach hatov. And kineged the koach of the ra, he created the koach of the good. In order, the man yigbar hatov al ra. Ki kodesh baruch hu. Shehu makar hatov v'dark al hayteh. The source of good is from God. And his derech, that's what we said, the derech lahayteh, tiyachad is ha-briya shahatov yiskaber ahara. It should be in the creation that the good will overcome the evil. Shekol od shekoach hatov v'koach hara shavim ze le'umad ze, yigaber hatov al hara. So as long as they're equal, evil will always win over the evil. Zehu omer.
Who says that?
Right now we're reading the Sefer Shalom. Let him speak. Zehu omer vayar l'kim eskol asher asav hinei tov ma'od. Ki bekoach hatov legbar akol koach hara. In essence, that's what's going to occur. Ochen Kol said this is provided. Kishe koach hatov hainu nivda la'atmo v'hara nifrad la'atmo. This is a fascinating insight for today. Just think about it. He says, this is as long. Tov is in one side, Ra is in another side. Meaning what? You have a clear perception of what's good and what's evil. Ki behayos koach hatov shalem, oz hatov yoser chazek v'gobar hal ra. When you have this clear perception, good will overcome evil. Masha ein kein be'eshi yesh irav shel tov v'ra. When you mix the two. Uvatov atzma ma'urav ra. And even in the good, notice lack of clarity, of correctness. When you ma'urav, when you mix the two, ma'abed as hatov, as kochel as gaber al ra. Just think about it. We make the statement all the time. What bothers you so much about the statements in the media about Israel or America constantly? Both sides should show restraint. Both sides should show restraint. What bothers you about that?
They're equating it.
We're not so sure who's right or wrong here. Just not so sure. Maybe Israel. Israel sounds to me right, but you know they're not 100%. You know.
Was a pleasure with anti-Semitism.
But my point is, just that's exactly what he's saying. When you don't have clarity of what's good, Aristotle said, man transgresses because he doesn't have a true perception of the summum bonum of good. If he knew that this was absolute good, of course he would follow. He doesn't believe it. Or he has a misperception of the good. Or like he's putting it, there is a mixture of the ra and the good. You're not defining what good really is. You think it's something else. Oh, well, that's why you started doing something else. You see, he's trying to understand how could, and this goes very nicely, props possibly the Eitz HaDaas, everything, how could you have rebelled against God so quickly? Even you ask this question also, forget about this. Go through all of Torah later on. Klal Yisrael comes out of Mitzrayim. They just saw the Eser Makas. They come to Yamsuf.
And they screw up.
And all of a sudden, and the sea splits and they go through it. Right? You just finished Revi. Keni Hashem Rofecha. You just finished Revi in Bishalach. What's Chamishi in Bishalach? Mayimurim. All of a sudden they start complaining.
Yeah,
yeah, 5 seconds later, you feel like saying, Are you kidding me?
That's why I always say
the Yankees win 60 games in a row. Yes, Hashem. 60-0. And then all of a sudden they lose the game. Oh, get rid of this manager. I mean, are you nuts? I mean, did you forget about what they did?
Break them up.
This was the end result. He started mixing good and evil. That's what changed everything. And this is the Yisrael. This is what causes all of the sins.
How does he see in the text that Adam and Rishon did this? He's talking about Chava?
I mean, how does he see really in the text? What questions? But what does the Nachash represent?
Evil.
Right, the Nachash.
Did Adam,
the Nachash is the one who would ever have, even if you say Nachash is based on the conscience. What is that? The conscience comes over and starts talking to Chava. That's good, so we'll have to go through it. But what is the conscience saying to him? He didn't say this. He said this. He said it. Why? The whole reason.
He's mixing up good and evil.
He's basically converting himself. Oh, there must be a rationale why God doesn't want me to do this. It's not for my benefit. It's to keep him in power. Right? What did you just do there? You have intermingled Tov and Ra. The Tov is the perfect. God has all that God wants to do is to help man. And what did you just say immediately? No. He doesn't really want to do it for me. He has
ulterior motive.
This is him speaking. V'shar pag me'habriya. Ad eis ha'tikun ha'gemur b'viyas ha'mashiach. And this is what is hurting our world until Mashiach comes. She'oz yitukan ha'pagam she'odem ha'rishon v'shuv yikbar ha'tov al-ra. And at that point, it will be more of a perfect world. And that's when Tov will always be over the Ra. Now, part of that, by the way, it's just an example, going a little bit to left field. I've said this before, but it's a beautiful pshat from the Tzlach. Gemara says, today, if someone passes away, so we say Baruch Nayin Emes. If something good happens, he say Baruch HaTov HaMeitav. In the future world, we're only going to say Atov HaMeitav. So he said, you only say Atov HaMeitav because you're not going to have to say Baruch Dayan Emes. Right? It's no Chiddush. So the Tzlach explains, no, the Pshat is, that's another Behuda, he says, explains what it means is, in this world, you look at the world and you say, I don't understand why things happen. I just don't get it. I don't understand why the Kodesh Baruch Hu did something like this. In the future world, you're going to understand what's happening. In this world, you say, Baruch Dayan Emes. I don't understand how Kashmir could have done it. I just don't get it. But you accept it. Baruch Dayan Emes. Hatoba Meitav, thank you for all the good you've done. In the future, when you realize why everything had to be done in a certain way, you're going to say, only say Hatoba Meitav. Part of our world is this questioning of God. How could you have done such a thing? We don't understand it. The next step of not understanding why God does something is what will determine the chet or non-chet. The next question, how do you handle when you don't understand something? There's a beautiful pshat of the Rav. The Rav always says, the Rav said something when Moshe says, show me every, I want to know everything. He says, no, only my back. Why don't you show me the whole thing? Moshe, you must. So Rav explained, if you understood why everything had to happen, if you understood, and it goes back to your original question, if you understood why God did this, and why this person has to die, and this person has to be killed, or this has to have, terrible accident, etc., etc., you're not going to have rachamim on anyone. Right? No. He did it. He deserved it. What should I do? Or, Kadosh Baruch Hu, this is the reason. It has to happen. What should I do?
Just like Yov.
Right. In other words, you're not going to have rachmanis. So that's what he's saying, that he, Adam HaRishon, that first chait, the original sin, as we'll put it here, the first chait was because of clouding, without clarity, clouding good. Ulam kolza einu soser es etzem tachlis habriya, she tov ma'od. Now he explains, not that God didn't create a good world, a perfect, we created the perfect world. You came in, you started making, you messed up immediately. K'moshe nisna she'akadosh baruch hu mekor hatov, v'chatzol lehitziv v'tachlis habriya mitzad ha'kadosh baruch hu, he b'yetzem tov, v'ein mispatelas al af kol ha'chatoim, elech she'chatoim trichim tikun. The world is perfect. We are not perfect. V'onshim ha'koshim she'enish ha'kadosh baruch hu.
Aren't we part of the world?
Yeah, but man, that's why we said this a few weeks ago. Why does the man deserve a yara after man was created? Because it's kitov. He doesn't say that about man, because man has the ability now, man to fail, to create, or not to. Ha'onshim, ha'kashim, she'enish ha'kadosh baruch hu is hadoros ha'rishonim, and it was a piece that I'll try to remember to make copies for next week. Beautiful. He shows how, in comparison of the sin of Adam HaRishon and Cain VeHevel, and he goes into the fact that both cases, man is sent into exile. right? Man is sent into exile. Why is that? Is that an onesh? I mean, basically, said, why are we thrown out of Gan Eden? Why don't you just, all right, stay there. All right, you made a punishment. Okay, I'm going to punish it and stay there. Now, we'll start again.
That's where man can flourish. Man can flourish in Gan Eden.
So why was he put there to begin with?
Well, man changed his situation. He now embraces more free will.
He had free will there too, also, right? It's not that he wasn't given free will before. But he chooses to do what? He chooses incorrectly his free will. The exile, the question is, when he's thrown out of Gan Eden and the Cain has to go Nod V'Nod, right? Is that so much as an onesh in the sense, okay, now I'm going to punish you? Or is that just a natural ramification of what you just did? In exile means you left. You started leaving. That's what caused you to do the onesh. You went away from God. You didn't come closer to God. And that's what caused you to do this. Is that, in other words, what I want to say is the reason why they were thrown out of Gan Eden is not that they were threatened. I mean, the Rav used to say man can't exist in Gan Eden. It just wasn't. It's a fable. It's a parable. It's an idea. What is the idea? The idea is, you said because man all of a sudden has Bechiras. No, you always had Bechiras Chavshas. But Bechiras Chavshas could be used to come closer to God or go away from the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It was interesting. Yesterday, Kedusha Salevi said, Kedoshim to you, Kani Hashem Elokechem. And then it says, it's Avu V'Imo Tithro. So Kedusha Salevi says, there were two types of relationships that you could have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. When you have a Yiras Hachay, there's two ideas. It's very beautiful in Chassidus. There's Yiras Romamus and there's Yiras Hachay. Yiras Hachay is, I'm afraid of getting punished. You know, I get caught, right? I can imagine. You said it's a mitzvah d'oraisa to stay on your taxes. So okay, we're being recorded. We don't believe in that. But so basically, what you're saying is Yiras Hachayit is, you know, if I get caught, I'm gonna have to pay penalties. I may go to jail. That's the reason why I'm not doing it. Yiras Romamus is you have such a close dveikus and belief in the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I don't want to do something to insult him. This is what he wants. So I'm so careful. It's not that simply I'm following. I don't want to do something that's the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's not what I wanted. It's like if you like Mother's Day. If you really believe in Mother's Day, you want to do something for your wife and for your mother. You want to do something, make sure she appreciates it. And I buy her a card that's not a nice card and this and that. So what am I afraid of? She'll say, "Oh, this what my kid did. This what my kid did. That's all I'm worth, you know. Maybe $1.50. You couldn't even go to get a $2.50. Right? Nothing can buy me a flower. Right? So." But you're doing it because you want her to appreciate everything. You're doing it because you love her. That's a Yiras Romamus. That's where we come closer and closer and closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. How man acts is either he becomes a Tipas Rucha. Well, what are you? You came from a Tipas Rucha. You came from an act. And you're just a Behemoth Gazi. You have been walking this world. And now you're here. Or do you want to create something to become closer and closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu? How you look, how you use your Bechiras Chavshas is how you ultimately become in your relationship. So what the Nesiva Shalom is basically saying over here is, what happened? Why did we get so punished? Sha'on Shemele Shivras Toka Fara Vem Tiku Kemo Ha'onesh Ha'achet Adam Arishon Uchema Ha'onesh Ha'dor Enosh Shehutzav Shlisha Olam Chet Onesh Dor Ha'mavel. So much of the world was destroyed. Kol zeh shevra es tokaf koach hara shows you that the purpose or the control of evil. Shah onshin paulu hamataka bekoach hara v'achrei hachana zu. Shashvim samatzecha skos hara kvar ha yochel laskil olam atikon. After the destruction, now you can begin again. V'oz kam Avram Avinu. Shemimenu hiskel binyan olam hatikon. So now he's saying this, and this, once I've destroyed you, once I brought you down, this is the concept also, like, you know, we spoke about before, I think we spoke about here, before before Pesach, we had to get to the Memtes level of Tuma in order that you strip away everything so you finally come to realization of what is left in you, and that's when you start to build. You realize, you get over there, the Memtes, what was left? The Nishmas Elokis. So the Jew realized there's nothing for him. He said, oh, I have the Nishmas Elokis. I have a connection to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So here the world, and all of us, Umeyaz Ha'olam Holechu Miskarev Kol Hazman Adbo Latikun Hagamer. Notice, the way the world happened was, man started saying, there was no Akaras HaTov, and they intermingled Tov Vara to a point, that, okay, now I'm going to have to destroy the world. That destroying the world is looked upon almost for our benefit. It's the only way the world is going to start over again. That you have to realize. Man has to realize he has to change. And Avraham Avinu is the tikkun. Zehu masha matzina shel tzadikim she'idu aleihem she'heim b'v'chiris ha'adam ha'rishim kodem ha'chei. Hainu she'heim ha'yu kvar b'v'chiris ha'tikkun she'atov etzlam b'shleimus k'mo lefnei ha'begam eiru shel tovara. And this Avraham attained that level almost Adam Arishim before the Chayt. Hareza Bechlav Vayara Hashem is Kol Asher Asavi Neitov Ma'ot Sheratza B'Kiyumo. That's what it means. God wanted us to last. Hayinu Mishum Shara. He saw Es Hasof Eilam Masei HaTzadikim Bechiras HaTikum HiNeitov Ma'ot. He saw in the end the Tzadikim are going to bring this world to fruition. They are the ones who are going to bring back to Adam Arishim Kol the Machayt. V'adas mamre chazar v'apostel v'yarishem es ha'or ki tov eilu ma'aseim shel tzadikim. That's what it means. V'yar es ha'or ki tov, this was what? The tzadikim. V'chein b'chlal Yisrael ha'yizmanim yidum shekvar omad li'yos b'hem ha'tikun ha'gomu. And there were times that we know that Israel already was in his tikun ha'gomu. K'mo b'zman kabbalas ha'torah. Shall osa shah nema ani omarti Hashem atam ubnei elyon kulchem. Right? There are certain times that we see the Shira and the Yam Suf, everyone attained at a certain level at one moment.
Even the handmaiden knew.
Even that, right? B'yom chasinos zu matan torah. That's good. Va'al zeh nemar va'yar lekem es kol asher asav hinei tov ma'od. Shemitzat etzem habriya harehi be'emes tov ma'od. The world was created in a more perfect way. Man mixed evil and tovara. Avo mitzad etzem habriyah hinei tov ma'ol v'rotza kadosh baruch hu b'kiyumo. Sharata hayu kadosh baruch hu bona olamos ha'machrivon ad shebaris habriyah hazos. What does that mean? Shehi b'riya ha-ra'uy l'skayim mishum shehi be'etzem b'riya shotov. B'riya ha-meviya u'makarves es ha-latikin. In other words, he came to a point in time that this world was perfect. Ad the ketzei yamin. The rabbi used to explain, what was the whole thing of building nine olamos and then destroying them? He couldn't get it right the first time. So it teaches you a lesson. Man can always start again. Kavyochel, God started, I'll do it again. So you learn. And that's how this world is. The world was destroyed. To say, now you can start again. You can do this. You can build it.
Another shot.
Uvehemshech nemres parshas ha-shabbos shehiyom ha-tikun shebishabbos kol shul tunei rogues in them. Okay, I'm not going to go through. This is a constant theme of Shabbos, which one day we'll go through in the Sefer Shalom. Just the last part of the association of Mon Mikol Parshas Hachatem of Onshim Shemibreshim Spray. This is what all these parshas you should learn. Shrei Kodesh Baruch Hu Tov Umiita Lotet Zeharoski Im Hatov. It really comes. Everything is good from God. Ela Shekol HaOnshim Shaldam Harishim Vador Enosh Vador Hamab Alohi Onish Hashem Onish. Not that God punishes us because He wants to punish us. Ela Noda Lishbar Es Koach Hara. Did this in order to destroy evil. ulekarivus abriya el olam hatikun shehiskel acharka chaydei avram avinu. Ugemar hatikun yiyeh b'vias haMashiach. We're not there yet. It happened in time of Mashiach. She'oz yitukam begam adam harishom v'niskayim b'mlo hatachlish to be netov ma'od. V'atorim esaperis is called haparshas ha'elu lamed shelo kiyamas metziyah shel avodam. The whole reason why we're writing all of these parshias is that the destruction, the loss, shemikol ha'matzav v'gam ha'achador enosh v'dor ha'mabel, tamid yesu v'nechletu ma'omek hara, shebo ha'briya l'skarev el tikunu. Siyum habriya ksiv vaychalo kima yom ha'shvi'i l'lachto asher asah, vayivarach l'z yom ha'shvi'i, shebekoch ha'shabash efa l'chaleitz mikol matzav ra, shuka mamam ron ha'kadosh, nasan l'kanai. So that you'll see again the idea of Shabbos, again, how he uses it. But Yeshiva Shalom with basic sayings, it's a beautiful idea. It's what is the cause of all the chayim? It's a lack of clarity. It's a lack of understanding of what's really good in this world. Now you could take that as what I said before. That is the source of faith. That, by the way, go back to our initial discussion, even in Psak Halacha, why certain generations have to focus on a certain minor issue. It's a minor issue. In the world of world, like, no. You know, you always hear Rabban say, all right, he did this, he did that, who cares? Like, what is the difference? So he the bus of a chol of this, it's not so. That's not the chayt, because what's causing you not to say, all right, no. So I didn't do this. The Bima concept was because there was a certain cancer inside Judaism. That cancer had to be rooted out. That disease of what you're trying to accomplish had to be rooted out. That was what? A classic case of intermingling Tov Vara. We don't know what real Tov. We don't know what God wants. We don't know. It's state and pasuk. We don't know what God wants. And God's cruel. God is capricious. God is a flake. God is all of these. And these things are being written today over and over by people. Nah, God wouldn't have done it. God is evil. And that what they're doing is that you're intermingling Tov Vara. I don't have clarity of thought. I don't know. I don't know what's right anymore. And when you don't know what's right, that's how you go off the derech. That's how you start being a chote and a machte.
You look at things and see what it's like.
I don't know what it is. I don't know what's right and what's wrong.
Some water.
And that's what this piece is so important. He's trying to explain, you're right. He said God created this world. It's supposed to be perfect, and it's not perfect. He says, all right, now let me explain to you. It was perfect. But you don't have clarity of thought. And if you don't have clarity of thought of what's right and what's wrong, you're going to be over constantly transgressions.
Yeah.
So it's going to bounce us.